Today's daf is Sanhedrin daf Tzadik Gimel. We are about 30 lines from the top of daf Tzadik Beis Amid Beis, moving along in Perek Chelek. So at the end of yesterday's daf, the Gemara brought a ton of Devei Elio. Tzadikim she'osir HaKadosh Baruch Hu la'achyoisa, that la'osir lovoi, when the tzadikim are going to be brought back to life, they're going to merit Chias HaMesim, Einon Chayzer La'afram. They're going to live forever. And the Gemara understood that that meant that when somebody Zoycha to Chias HaMesim, he doesn't die. So the Gemara asked Takasha, V'neilef mi Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel. Why don't we learn from the Mesim that Yecheskel was Mechaya, who died, that you see that even someone that merits Chias HaMesim doesn't live forever, he dies. So just like those Mesim died, wouldn't it make sense, Freik the Gemara, that the Tzadikim, She'asir HaKadosh Baruch Hu La'achyoisam, they too will be Chayza La'afran, they too will die at some point. Either way, the Gemara digressed from there a little bit into the Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel. So again, that's not really the topic of the beginning of Perek Chelek. We're discussing Olam Haba, which according to most Rishonim is Tchias HaMesim, but we're discussing the Tchias HaMesim that's going to happen in the end of days. The Gemara now is digressing and is going to discuss a little bit the Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel that's mentioned in Yecheskel Perek Lamed Zayin that we spoke about at length yesterday's daf, and from there the Gemara is going to digress and talk about one of the most famous episodes in Nach, and that is the story of Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, who were thrown into the Kivshon HaEsh by Nebuchadnezzar and Melech Bavel, which is mentioned in Daniel Paragimel. But first, there was a discussion amongst the Tanoim. These Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel, was it real? Did it really happen? Or was it all a mashal? It was a nevuah. It was something that Yecheskel was shown in a chaloyim as a mashal for the point that Hashem wanted Yecheskel to understand, which was, go tell the Yidden that just like you were able to be Mechaya Mesim, so too, one day you'll be able to be Mechaya the Chayim. The Yidden, they're walking around and they have this feeling of Yofsha Atzmoisenu. They feel like they're Uskitrekin. They feel like they have no hope. They feel like that nothing good is going to come. Tell them that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the ability to be Mechai Mesim. But either way, says the Gemara, discussion amongst the Amayram. Who were the Mesim that Yecheskel was Mechai? So Rav said, Elu B'nai Ephraim, Shemonu Leketz V'tol. These were the B'nai Ephraim who made a mistake in terms of understanding when exactly Yetzias Mitzrayim was supposed to be. They left 30 years early. As a result, they were killed. So that we spoke about last night. Rabbi Yirmi Bar Abba Omer, that's what we're up to. Elu b'nei Adam she'ein bem lachluch hashem mitzvah. These were people that had done no mitzvah. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, ha'atzomois ha'yeveshois shimu dvar Hashem. The Pasuk says that ha'atzomois yeveshois listen to the dvar Hashem. We skipped one, actually. Ushmula ma'shmul says, elu b'nei Adam she'kafru b'tchias ha'mesim. Going back. So Shmuel says that who were the Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel? So whenever there's Rav, you know there's going to be Shmuel. So again, Rav said it was the Bnei Ephraim. Shmuel said these were people that denied Chias HaMesim. Shenema v'yomer alai ben Adam atzomo yisaelo kol beis Yisrael heima. Hine oimrim yofshu atzmo yisenu v'ovdo sikfa senu nigzar nulano. These were people that denied Chias HaMesim. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba Omar, these are people that did not deny Chias HaMesim, but at the same time, Ein Bahem Lachlucha Shal Mitzvah, they didn't have a lot of mitzvahs. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, Atzoma Yisai Yeveshois, Shimu Dvar Hashem, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcham, Eidu Ben Yodam, Shechipu Esaheichel Kuloi, Shkotzim V'Ramasim. These were people, pretty bad, that had covered the walls of the Beis Hamikdash with Avoy Dazar. Shenema v'avoy v'erev hinei kol tavnis remes u'behema shekets v'chol giluli beis Yisrom mechuke alakir saviv, because the pasuk that describes where the Beis Hamikdash was covered with tavnis of remes and behema and shekets and kol giluli beis Yisrom uses the word saviv. And if you remember when we went through Yecheskel Perek Lamed Zayin, v'ksiv hasem, Yecheskel describes this mara that he has, where he sees that somos yeveshois, the hevirani aleihem saviv saviv. So you see the same word saviv, there's gzeira shava, that who were these at somos yeveshois? These were the bones of these people, shechipu es ha'heichol kuloi, shkotzim v'ramasrum. Rabbi Yechanan says, elu mesim shebebikas dura. These were mesim, people that had been killed by Nebuchadnezzar in Bikas Dura, the plain of Dura. That was a place in Bavel. That's where these mesim were. Rabbi Yechanan said, minahar eshel ad rabas Bikas Dura. If you want to know where Bikas Dura is on a map, it's from the Eshel River until Rabbas. That plane is what's known as Bikas Durosh. Why did Nebuchadnezzar kill people? Because when Nebuchadnezzar Rosho destroyed the first base of Mikdash and he took the Yidin into Golos three times, says the Gemara, Hoyu Bahen Bachrin, Shayu Megan and Esachama Beyafya. They were Bachrin, young Jewish boys, that were so handsome that their beauty put the beauty of the sun to shame. For you Kazdiyos, the Kazdiyos, the Babylonian women, would see these men, the Shoifoi Zavos, and they would become Zavos, they would become Nidos. Rashi says, Machmas Taiva, Amru Lubaleim, so they told their husbands about these very handsome young men. Ubaleim Lamelech, their husbands got jealous, so they went and they told the king. The king got jealous. Tziva HaMelech v'hargum. The king, the Nebuchadnezzar, went. He had them killed. V'adayin ho'yoshef v'izofas. But these women would look at the corpses of these young Jewish boys, and it would still cause them to be nidoy. Tziva HaMelech u'ramsum. So the Melech, Nebuchadnezzar, said that it's not enough that we killed them, but we have to trample them. We have to disfigure them. So like this, we won't have to worry about the women looking at them. But either way, these were all young Jewish boys. They were killed by Nebuchadnezzar because of kinna. Where were they killed? They were killed in Bikas Dura, says Rabbi Yochanan, and now you know the rest of the story. You want to know who these Mesim Shehechi Yecheskel were? It was these Mesim related to this Maimer Chazal that Nebuchadnezzar killed. Either way, says the Gemara, we mentioned the Mesim of Bikas Dura, so we're going to digress now and talk about a famous event that took place in Bikas Dura, and again, that's the story of Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. So a little bit of background. I'd love to read it in the Nach, the way we usually do this, but Daniel Perek Gimel is written in Aramaic, and it's pashut, a reading test. It's just not easy to read, and certainly not something easy to understand. So rather than read it inside, we'll just, in very, very short, tell the story outside. I'll read the first pasuk. Nebuchadnezzar Malka Avad Slaim Didahav. He made a tzelem, first glance in Avodah Zarah, out of gold. Rumei Amin Shitin Pasye Amin Shes. It was 60 amas tall, so approximately 120 feet. Big billboard. Bikas Dura, Medina's Bavel. And he did it in Bikas Dura, which was in Bavel. And then the pasuk says, in Nebuchadnezzar Malka Shlach L'michnash Lachash Darpenaya Signayu Fachavosa Adargoz Raya Gidavraya the Savraya Tiftoye. Right, you understand, right? The whole Shultonibi sounds like you can pork him, right? So, but either way, so he sends, basically has his officers make a decree that everybody has to come down to Bikas Dura, Bimedina's Bubble, that's where this is, and you have to bow down to the celeb, or else you're going to be killed. The officers of Nebuchadnezzar come, and they inform him that, I want you to know, there are three Jews, I've heard, they refuse to bow down to your celeb. Who are the Jews? Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah. He has them come down, and he says, why aren't you bowing down to my tzelem? And they tell him, because the only person, the only thing, the only deity that we're going to bow down to is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, you realize there's a gzeira that says that anyone that doesn't bow down to my tzelem, my Avodah Zarah, is going to be thrown into a burning fire and is going to be killed. They tell Nebuchadnezzar, we have nothing to worry about, because if you throw us into a fire, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the miracle to Avram Avinu, when Nimrod threw him into the Kivshan Ha'esh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to perform a miracle for us. Everything is going to be fine. Nebuchadnezzar says, really? Game on. Let's see. So he takes the fire and he heats it up seven times, the pasuk says, hotter than what the fire was really supposed to be. He has his people go, throw Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah into the fire. The pasuk says that as his officers were throwing Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah into the fire, they got close to the fire, and the heat consumed them, they were killed. Hananiah, Mishael, v'Azariah miraculously were able to survive this burning fire. Not just that, the pasuk describes how Nebuchadnezzar sees them in the fire. The Gemara is going to talk about the detail of all the miracles, how this exactly played out. He sees them, and he sees a malach that's there with them, that was protecting them, and they were nichnas v'shalom v'yatza v'shalom. So much so that Nebuchadnezzar afterwards sings shiros v'sishbachis to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara is going to say shiros v'sishbachis that rival the shiros v'sishbachis that David HaMelech sang to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But either way, says the Gemara, this took place in Bikas Dura, We just mentioned Bikas Dura. Specifically, we mentioned the Mason Shehechi Yecheskel, who according to Rabbi Yochanan, were Mason that were killed by Nebuchadnezzar, the very same king that had decreed Hanani, Mishael, Vazayah be thrown into the fire, and they were killed in Bikas Dura, which was the setting for where the story of Hanani, Mishael, Vazayah took place. We'll see the two stories are connected, and that's the next Gemara. Tanu Rabbanu, Mishael, Shehebun Nebuchadnezzar, Rasha, Es Hanani, Mishael, Vazayah, Kiv Shana, Eish, Shabbat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yecheskel. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel, was at that very moment, I want you to go and be mechaye mason in Bikas Dura. Kivon shehechye oisan. As soon as he was mechaye, and by the way, I saw in the Teres Chaim that says that sometimes when there's a shefa of nes, of miracles that are supposed to take place, so you have to chaperayim because the arubos hashamayim are open. It's a shas rotzayim, and you can go and you can chaperayim other miracles. Hashem was about to perform a miracle for Hanani, Mishael, Vazayah, and at that time, Omalei Hakadosh Baruch Hu liyecheskel leich v'hachye mason bevikas dura. This is an opportune time to perform. Let's go chaperayim another miracle. Let's be mechayim mason. Either way, kivin shehechye oisam. As soon as Yecheskel was mechayim these mason, bo atzamos, these bones came. V'tofchu loyla oisay rasha upon. They went up to Nebuchadnezzar and they slapped him in the face. Amar Nebuchadnezzar said, "And who are you?" Mativan shalelu. Amru loy. So Nebuchadnezzar's people, his entourage, told him, "Chaveirein shalelu mechayim mason bevikas dura." These people are Jews, and they're chaver, referring to Yecheskel. He's being mechayim mason right now in Vikas dura. Pasach va'amar immediately. Immediately, Nebuchadnezzar gets up and he starts singing Shiros v'Sheshbachos to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's saying Shiros v'Sheshbachos for HaKadosh Baruch Hu over what happened to Hanani, Mishael, v'Azariah, and also over the fact that simultaneously HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mechayim Mason. By the way, the Marsha says that it wasn't a coincidence that these two things happened at the same time. Hashem wanted to show Nebuchadnezzar, you think you're boss? You think you get to decide who lives and who dies? Right? Dr. Mengel wasn't the one who made that decision. Hashem made that decision. It looked like he did, but it really wasn't. Nebuchadnezzar didn't have that kind, nobody has that kind of power. Hashem said, you throw Hanani, Mishael, Vazayah into the Kif Shana'esh, he's going to come out alive. Not just that, all those mason that you killed, I have an ability. This was a world of Gilui Kanim. I have the ability to bring them back to life. Pasach va'amah. This is all Daniel Peregimel. So Nebuchadnezzar says, Asohi, the Oisais of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is Aramaic, Kama Ravravin, how great are they? Vishimhoi, and the wonders of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kama Tkifin, Malchusei Malchus Olam, Vishaltone in Dor Dor. Omar Rabbi Yitzchak said, Yutzach Zav Reiseach Letoiv Pikshal Oiser Rasha. We should pour gold into the mouth of Nebuchadnezzar, which is an expression of make him stop talking. Shomoli Bo Malachusat Reapiv, because had a Malach not come and slapped Nebuchadnezzar in the face, Bikesh Leganois Kol Shiros Vishishboche Shomot David Besefetom. He would have put to shame all the shiras v'sishbachis that David HaMelech wrote in Tehillim. And Rashi says, because the shiras v'sishbachis of Nebuchadnezzar were so beautiful, they were so powerful, that it was more chaviv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than all the Tehillim and the Mizmars and the Tehillims that you, the shiras v'sishbachis and the Psalms that David HaMelech wrote. And it was for that reason that a Malach had to come and he had to slap Nebuchadnezzar, he had to get him to stop. But it's Yidua, B'shem, the Kotzke Rebbe. The Kotzke Rebbe says, he says, the Malach came, slapped him on the face to stop him, because otherwise his shiras v'sishbachas would have been nicer than David HaMelech. What's the pnimius? What's the tiefkeit? So the Kotzke Rebbe, with his classic sharfkeit, said that Nebuchadnezzar sang shiru to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But let's be honest, Nebuchadnezzar had it going pretty good. He was the king of the entire world. Everybody's bowing down to him. Okay, so three people, Hanani, Mishael, Vazayah, weren't giving him the proper covet. But he builds the tselem. Everyone's bowing down to him. He's rich. He has it going really, really good. Sinish kein kunz, when things are going well, to be able to sing shiras v'sishbachos. But Hashem wanted to see if he's really like David HaMelech. See, David HaMelech sang shira when things went well. But David HaMelech also sang shira b'varcha mipnei Avshalom b'noi when he was running away from his son Avshalom. David HaMelech turned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he said, shiftecho mishantecha hemi yenachamuni. He sang shira even when things were going bad. And that was the test. Nebuchadnezzar, really? You think you're so great because you can compose beautiful songs? I understand. When life is knocking, it's not such a kunz. But let's see what happens when the Malach comes and he slaps you in the face. Are you still going to be able to sing Shiras v'Sishbachos? And as soon as the Malach came, he stopped. That was the Malach's way of showing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't compare Nebuchadnezzar to David HaMelech. Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar in the best of times is singing Shira, but David HaMelech sang Shira even in the worst of times. Tanu Rabbanon, Shisha Nisim, Nasu, Ba'isir Yoim. There were six miracles that took place on that day, the day that Hanani Mishal Vazai were thrown into the Kivshan Eish. Elohim, these are the six miracles. Sof HaKivshan. So apparently, this furnace, this oven that Hanani Mishal Vazai were thrown into was underground. But Hashem wanted that everybody should see the miracle. Everyone should see Hanani Mishal Vazariah. So Tzofa Kivshan, the Kivshan floated up onto ground level. Then Nifretz HaKivshan, and then the walls of the Kivshan were breached so that people should be able to see in. V'humak soidoi, the foundation caved in. V'nepach tselem alpana, this big tselem that was 120 feet tall fell down. V'nisrefu arba malchios, and some of the henchmen of Nebuchadnezzar, these aren't four people, but four groups of people, they burnt in the fire. These were the people that were being busy with the fire. It was too hot for them. And then in that same Bikas Dura, Yecheskel was Mechayim Mesim. Says the Gemara, but Kulu Gemara. Everything we just said, we know in tradition, the Arba Malchus, with the exception of the fifth of the six miracles mentioned, and that is that these four parties were killed. That's something that we know from a pasuk. Because the pasuk says, Nebuchadnezzar Malka Shlach Lemichnash. So Nebuchadnezzar goes to call, where he wants to take out Hanani Mishal Vazario, Lachashdar Benaya, Signaya, Ufachavosa, Adargoz Raya, Gidav Raya, Disafraya Tiftoye, the Chol Shel Toyne Midinasas. If you count, it's seven groups of officials. V'ksiv Isai Guvrin Yehudon, so they bring now Hanani Mishal Vazariah. And how many people are there afterwards? V'ksiv Umeskanshin Ashtar Benaya Signaya Ufachavasa Adavri Malchus Chazoyan Guvrayu Yilech. But all you have is three. So you start with seven. Now you have three. It's back to the envelope arithmetic. That means four groups somehow disappeared. How did they disappear from the beginning of the story to the end of the story? Says the Gemara, must be they were consumed by the fire. Even when a person finds himself in a shasa sakono, a person should still be noble. Shenema, the pasuk that describes Hanani Mishal Vazari and the Kifshan Eish, says Beidayin Guvrayu Ilech Kefisu Besar Belehoin Pacheyoin the Karbalosoin. They were there in their kapata, with their spodik, that's how they were in the fire. They went in with a yishev adas, they went in with an amun and betachin that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was going to perform the miracle. See, even when a person finds himself literally with a cheref chad munachas al tzavari shel adam, this is a madrega. But the point is that you see from here how a person is supposed to be. That a person is supposed to give up his life with a yishev adas, like Hanani Mishova. They weren't falling apart, they weren't screaming, but they did it as if it was just another day. G'doylem tzadikim yoysim malachi ha-shoresh. The Gemara says, Rabbi Rabbi Yechanon, tzadikim are greater than malachi ha-shoresh. Shenemar, as the pasuk says, Onei va'omar, Nebuchadnezzar says, he looked into the fire, and he sees, Ho'anoch hozei guvrin arba shrayin mahalchin b'goy nura, v'chavol lo'isei behoin. So he sees Hanani Mishal v'Azariah walking in the fire, nothing is happening to them, u'revei di'revi'a dom alavar. And then he also sees a fourth person, who's the malach. A fourth suggests that the fourth was Tufel, because the tzaddik was the Iker, and the Malachi Ashores was the Tufel. What comes to mind is the Chassam Sofer in Petuchei Chosim, who says that if Avraham Avinu would have wanted to become a Malach like Chanoich, he could have become a Malach like Chanoich. But he understood, G'daylum tzaddikim yoysa mi Malachi Ashores. I don't think the Chassam Sofer quotes this Gemara, but he understood Hashem didn't want a Malach. Hashem wanted a tzaddik. But either way, G'daylum tzaddikim yoysa mi Malachi Ashores. Om Rav Tanchu Bar Chanilo B'shoshi Yotzeh Chanani Mishal Vazari Mi Kivshan Eish. When Chanani Mishal Vazari emerged from the Kivshan Eish, after this miracle happened, Bo'u called Umay Sa'ilom, the Umay Sa'ilom came, V'tofchu L'soyneim Shal Yisrael Al Paneim. And they, proverbially speaking, went and slapped the Yidden in their faces. Meaning, they looked down at the Jews. They started degrading them. Listen to this. And you need an Einu Yehudi sometimes to tell this to you. Amru lahem, yesh lachem eloika kozeh. You have such a God who performs these kinds of miracles for you. Va'atem mishtachavim l'tzalem. Meaning, after Hanani Mishal Vazai, you walked out of the Kivshan Eish, you made all the other Jews look really bad. Because, I don't understand. Why are you bowing down to the Tzalem? Look at what kind of God, look who you worship. Why are you worshiping the Tzalem of Nebuchadnezzar if you have the ability to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Miyad paschu va'amru. So the Yidden were embarrassed, and they said the following pasuk, L'cho Hashem atztaka, v'lonu boishes haponim. When was this said? Now you know the rest of the story. It was said by the other Yidden that bowed down to the Talmud of Nebuchadnezzar. They weren't able to be Meister Nafshon like Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were. They turned to Hashem and they said, V'lanu boishes upon him. We're embarrassed now. They were embarrassed of the mocking, of the scoffing, of the Umay Sa'ilam, who were making them look really, really bad. Omer Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Omer Rabbi Yonasan. What's the plan in the pasuk that says, Amarti Ela B'Samar, Oichazo B'San Sinav. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that I thought, Ela, that I would be Nisroi Meim B'Tamar, through a palm tree, but I realized it was only Oichazah B'San Sinav. It was only through the branches, Hashem says, that he had this aliyah. Amarti Eilu B'Samer Eilu Yisrael. Hashem says that I gave the Yidden this Nisayin, this test in the times of Nebuchadnezzar, and I was hoping that the entire Tamar, the entire tree, Ke'ish Echad, Belev Echad, would be able to be Oymed B'Nisayin, and they wouldn't bow down to the Talmud of Nebuchadnezzar. Achshav Le'olah B'Yadi Ela Sansan Echad Shel Hanani Mishael V'Azariah. But regretfully, says Hashem, all I have are a few branches. I have the branches of Hanani, Mishael, V'Azariah. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Ma'ay Dechziv, Zechariah HaNovi said, Ro'isi HaLayla, I saw at night, V'nei Ish Rechev Al Sus Adon, I saw a person that was riding on a red horse, V'hu Oymed Beina Hadasim, Asher B'Metzula, and he's standing between the Hadasim, Asher B'Metzula. The pasuk says, V'achar of Susim Adumen, and behind him, there were red horses, Srukim Ulevanim, and white horses. Sakta Gemara, what exactly was this nevuah that Zechariah described? Ro'isi HaLayla, Pikach HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lafiz Kol Ha'ilum Kulu L'Layla. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to turn the world into Layla. Why? Because of the fact that the Yidden had succumbed to the pressure of Nebuchadnezzar, and they bow down to the Tzelem. V'hine ish roichev, says the Gemara, Einish el HaKadosh Baruch. It's referring to HaKadosh Baruch. Shenem Hashem ish mulcham Hashem shemay. Al sus adoim, why a red horse? Bikish HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahafich ha'ilum kulei l'da. Hashem wanted to turn the world into blood. In other words, Zechariah says he sees an ish roichev. He sees a man riding on a red horse at night. The man is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Ish Mochamah. It was at night, and the horse was red. Night is darkness, red is blood, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu at that point is riding on a horse. He wants to turn the world into darkness, into blood, because of the fact that the Yidden and Bikas Dura are bowing down to the Talmud of Nebuchadnezzar. But as soon as HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw Hanani Mishael V'Azariah, Niskara Daitai, he was relieved. The pasuk describes the horse being Beina Hadassin, literally amongst the myrtles. Hadassin as in one of the Dalid Minim. The Ina Nasim El Tzadikim. The Hadassim of the Tzadikim. Shenem Vahi Oymein Es Hadassah. Esther was called Hadassah because Hadassah is code word for Tzadik. The Ein Metzula El Bavel. And the Metzula is Bavel. Shenem Ha'oymer Latzula Charavi V'Narei Sayich Evosh. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu then saw what Hanani Mishael V'Azariah did. He sees Oymein Beino Hadassim Asher B'Metzula. He sees the Hadassim, the Tzadikim, Hanani Mishael V'Azariah in the Metzula in Bavel. Miad Meleim Reiges V'Nasim Srukim V'Adassim. Dumim Nasu Levanim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu went from riding on a red horse, suddenly Tzchariah sees white horses. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calmed down. Amra Papa Shmamina, as an aside, FYI, you see from here, Susyo Chivara Mali Lechelma, that if you see a white horse in a dream, good things are coming. Says the Gemara, V'Rabbanon Lehecha Azal. The Gemara makes a very interesting observation. So Hanani Mishael V'Azariah, this story everybody knows. Misha Ono L'Hanani Mishael V'Azariah B'techkif Shnona Esh Hu Yanein. So we all know the story of Hanani Mishael V'Azariah. It's mentioned many, many times in Shas, as we're soon about to see. Stating that after Daniel Peregimel, Hanani Mishael V'Azariah will never be heard from again. Freik the Gemara, V'Rabbono L'Hecha Oso. Where did they go? How come, how is it possible that such great tzaddikim do not appear again anywhere in Nevi'im Uksuvim? Says the Gemara, V'Rabbanu Lehecha Nazal. Omer Rav, Rav says, Ba'ayin Hara Meso. Immediately after this happened, they got an Ayin Hara and they died. Incidentally, the Marsha says that this is Rav L'Shitasa. It's unbelievable. This is Rav who says in Bavim Tziyad Afkuv Zayin Amad Beis that 99 out of 100 people die because of Ayin Hara. This is Rav who lived 400 years, that we've always said, because 400 is Mispar Ayin Ra. This is Rav who was Tsayer Kavra, right? What was his insignia? It was a fish. Because V'yidgu l'roiv, the Dogim Shebiyama protected from Ayin Hara. So Rav, L'shitasai, who clearly spoke a lot about Ayin Hara. He believed 99% of bad things that happen because of Ayin Hara. So says the Mashal, this is Lishitasai. Amar Rab, Ayin Hara Mesu. But Shmuel Lishitasai, who never speaks about Ayin Hara, Shmuel was a doctor, by the way, but Shmuel, who never speaks about Ayin Hara, Amar Beroik Tavu. They died because of the spit of people. So Pashat, it sounds like people were spitting at the Yidden because of the fact, like the Gemara said earlier, Chanani, Mishael, Vazariah were able to control themselves and now not bow down to the Tzelem. How come you couldn't? That was the Velanu Bishas upon him that we mentioned earlier. So Pashat, it sounds like there was so much spit that they drowned in the spit. But the Marsha says that has to be a Mashal. It's very hard to think that that should be taken literally. So the Marsha says, and again, you have to understand what the Marsha means, but the Marsha says that they realized how much Busha, how much Bishas upon him the Yidden were getting from the fact that they were alive. And as a result, they somehow allowed themselves to die. Not sure what that means. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, Rabbi Yochanan says, Olu l'Eretz Yisrael, they went to Eretz Yisrael, they retired there. V'nasu nashim, they got married. V'hayridu banu mubanois, and they had children. We'll get back to that in a minute. Zok to Gemara Ketanah, it's really machlik Ketanah. Rabbi Lezo says, Bayin Har Mesu, they died Bayin Har. Rabbi Shua says, Baroik Tavu, they drowned in spit. V'chamim ayim, Olu l'Eretz Yisrael. V'nasu nashim, v'hayridu banu mubanois. And as the pasuk says, Shema no Yeshua Kohen Agadol, Ato ki So Yeshua Kohen Gadol is in Eretz Yisrael at the time, and he is together with people that are Anshei Moifes. Izehu Anoshim Shenasla Moifes. Who were the Anshei Moifes of that generation? That's easy. Have the Oimer Zechananya Mishol Vazari. But then the Gemara asks another kasha. The Daniel Heichanozel. Where did Daniel go? Daniel lived at the same time of Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. He too was a very important minister, an extremely important minister in Nebuchadnezzar's government. If Hanani, Mishael, Azariah didn't bow down to the Tzelem, certainly Daniel didn't need to bow down to the Tzelem. Elamai, if the Pasuk says that it was only Hanani, Mishael, Azariah who didn't bow down, Daniel was not in the picture. He must have not been there. It's a fake thing. Gemara with Daniel. Where was Daniel? Oh, my Rav. Rav said, Lemichro Nahara Rabba Betveria. He went to dig a river in Tveria. And it's amazing. Rav and Shmuel, just they always see it differently. Vishmuel Omar, Shmuel says, Lazuye Bisra Daspasta. No, he was importing Aspasta into Babel. Rabbi Yochanan Omar, so these are the Gedoyle Amiram. Rabbi Yochanan had a third shot. Lazuye Chaziri d'Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim. He was importing Chazirim, hogs. Hugs from Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim into Babel. That's where Daniel was. Fake the Gemara. Ei niva tanya tudas harayfa ima. Tudas harayfa said, how could you tell me that Daniel was importing Alexandrian hugs? Ain't part of a chazir. Yoytzim Alexandria Shal Mitzrayim chayin chaytven ha'im shalah. B'shful shalay tailor. We know that the people in Alexandria, they controlled the importing and exporting of their hugs to the point that they wouldn't allow hugs to be exported from Alexandria unless the womb was cut out so that it shouldn't be able to procreate, so they shouldn't lose control on the supply. So how could you tell me that Daniel was trying to export these hogs? And like Rashi says, presumably so that they should be able to procreate, he was doing this for financial reasons. I thought that they never allowed it to happen. So the Gemara says, Zutri Aisi Balei Tatayo. He was exporting very small hogs, and he was able to somehow bypass customs. So like this, they had no idea that he was trying to export it. Now, obviously, Daniel wasn't doing this on his own volition. Nebuchadnezzar had forced him into it. He worked for Nebuchadnezzar, whatever Nebuchadnezzar told him to do, with the exception of violating Teres Hashem, he didn't have a choice. But Al Kapani, you want to know where Daniel was? Rav, Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan, the Gedoyle Amiram, they all chimed in, all had different opinions of where exactly they might have been. Zok Tigmar, Tan Rabbanan, Shloisha Yabaisa. There were three people that were involved in this Eitzah of determining that Daniel should not be present at the time that this great miracle happened with Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. And who were the three? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'Daniel, V'Nevuchadnezzar. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Daniel to be present. He said, Nezal Daniel Mehocha. It's better Daniel not be here. Delay Lemru, because if Daniel's going to be there, when Hanani, Mishael, Azariah are thrown into the Kivshan Eish, they're going to be thrown into the Kivshan Eish together with Daniel, because there's no way Daniel's going to violate this. So Delay Lemru, B'Schus HaYis, and people are going to say that the reason Hanani, Mishael, Azariah was saved was not because of their own schos, it was because of Daniel's schos. So Hashem wanted to show that it's Hanani, Mishael, Azariah's schos. The only way to do that was preventing Daniel from being there. So Hashem was mesavev that Daniel should not be present at the time. He should be either digging a river in Tveria, wherever he was. But the point is, he shouldn't be here. Daniel was also involved. Daniel didn't want to be there. He said, listen to Daniel's cheshbon. Nebuchadnezzar, the Gemara is going to say in a moment, used to worship Daniel. And being that he used to worship Daniel, Daniel was a little afraid that maybe he's not going to make it out of this fire alive. You know why? Because the pasuk says that what are you supposed to do with the avodah zarah? You're supposed to throw it into fire. It's supposed to be burnt. So Daniel said, if I'm an avodah zarah, it could be when I'm thrown into the fire, I will be consumed by this fire. He didn't have the same self-confidence that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah had that a miracle was going to happen. Because maybe in observance of this pasuk, psile eloheyem tisrafun be'esh, Hashem is going to make it that I should be consumed. He said, I better get out of here. Nebuchadnezzar said, I don't either want Daniel to be here. Because Nebuchadnezzar worshipped Daniel, and how's it going to look that he's taking his avodah zarah and he's throwing it into the fire? How do we know Nebuchadnezzar used to worship Daniel? The pasuk says, but the bottom line is, Gimel Hoya Ba'isa Eitza, who were the three people. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar. Everybody was on the same page. This was a unanimous decision that it makes more sense for Daniel not to be present. So like this, the story will play itself out the way we want to play itself out. Exhale. So before we go weiter, two ha'aras. Number one, this story of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, as mentioned, is discussed in many places in Shas. But if you look at some of these Gemaras, there's an obvious Tamiya Gedoyla Adla Ma'oid that needs to be answered. We'll just mention a few Gemaras. The first is a Gemara in Perik Elu Nairis, a well-known Gemara, Ksubis Taf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Amar Rav, Rav says that we know the story of Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. They were given an ultimatum. Either you bow down to the Tzalim of Nebuchadnezzar, or else you're going to be thrown into this very, very hot furnace. And Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, with the ultimate self-confidence and emunah and betochen, said, we're prepared, like Avram Avinu, to have ourselves thrown into this Kivshon HaEsh, because we believe that we're going to come out alive. Says the Gemara, the only reason Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were able to do what they did is because it was a one-moment thing. They were thrown in, close your eyes, you'll be killed, or you'll be saved, everything will be fine. But Amar Rav, Umole Nogdua L'Hanani Mishael V'Azariah, had Hanani Mishael V'Azariah been tortured by Nebuchadnezzar, had this been a long, drawn-out process, where they would have to endure torture, Polchu L'Tzalma, they would have not succumbed. They would have allowed themselves to bow down to the avodah zarah, they would not have allowed themselves to subject themselves to torture. First of all, how did Rav know that? But also, why would he be choshed Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah of doing that? We're dealing over here with the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar, which l'chur is avodah zarah. So avodah zarah, you have to give up everything. It's b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'idecha. Doesn't matter what's at stake. It doesn't matter if it's giving up your life or whether it's enduring torture. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, such great tzaddikim, Rav says, Il mole nogdu l'chanani, Mishael, and Azariah, havi polcho l'tzalma. That's the first Gemara. Second Gemara, also well known, is Psochim, daft nun gimel amid beis. Oidzu dorash tudus ishraimi. Tudus, who came from Rome, said the following thing. Ma ro Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, yeshem basur, natsam al kdushas Hashem, l'kiv shonehesh. Why did Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah give themselves up and jumped into the kiv shonehesh? Zok the Gemara, nosu kal v'chaymer ba'atzma. They made a kal v'chaymer. From the tzvard, ma tzvarde, ma doch the tzvardeya of the 10 Makkas fame. She'ein mitzvah al kedushas Hashem, who didn't have a mitzvah. They're frogs. They don't have a mitzvah of kedushas Hashem. Ksivbu, what does the pasuk say? Ubo, uva'olu, beveisecha, uvetanu recha, uvemisharisecha. They were prepared to jump into a fire. Anu, us, that have a mitzvah al kedushas Hashem, alachas kama v'kama. Certainly, we need to do the same thing. We need to jump into a fire. So it says to this Ishraimi, anaya patent. You want to know why Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah told Nebuchadnezzar, absolutely not, we're not going to bow down to the Tzelem, we're prepared to give us our life. They made a kal v'chomer from frogs, from the tzvardim. Ma, doch the tzvardim jumped into the kivshon ha'esh. Anu alachas kama v'kama. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah had to make a kal v'chomer from the tzvardim. What's going on over? This is avodah zarah. Avodah zarah is one of the three averus chamuris that's yahar gavayavar. And by the way, it's befarhesya. right? It's befarhesia, and befarhesia, even in Avera Kalos, Yoharig of Vayavar. So why exactly do you have to come on to a Kalvachaymer? Why exactly do you have to come on to a Kalvachaymer from the Tzvardim? A third Gemara, also a well-known Gemara. The Gemara Mesechtes Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amid Aleph. Shalu Talmid of Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai was sitting with his Talmidim, must have been Purim time. And his Talmidim turned to him and they say, Mipnei man nischaivu seinem shal Yisrael shabayisad ar kalaya. We all know the story of Pomit. There was a Gzeira lahash with the Hiru Gulabigas Kala Yehudim. Why did it happen? What did Yidden do so bad that initially there was such a terrible decree? Amru Lahem, Sir Shumaychai turned to his Talmidim and says, No, Frank Slakutakasha, Emru Atim, what do you think? Amru Loi, so they told him, Ibn Shenen, Misudas, Shalai Sarasha. I mean, just reading the narrative of Megillah Esther, it sounds like all the Yidden are at the Suda of Achashverish, so probably they were punished for having Hana and for all the terrible things that went on at that Suda. But Rav Shimon Bar Yochai said, in Cain, if that's the reason, Shushan Yehar, then only the Yidden and Shushan should have been killed. Shebechol Olam Kulei Al Yehargu. Why were all the Yidden in the world decreed to die? Amrullah says, I hear. Sunu says, Emirata, says, Rebbe, we tried. We didn't get the right answer. What do you think? Amrullah, he told them, Ibnesha, Shtachvu Tzelem, because they bowed down to the Tzelem. Says Rashi, which Tzelem be made Nevuchanetzar, this Tzelem that was 120 feet tall. That was a big Azura. And all the Yidden bowed down, with the exception of Hanani, Mishal, Azariah. It was for bowing down to that Selem that the Gzeira of Purim happened. Amrulai, so they told him, V'chimasu panim yesh bedavar. V'chimasu panim yesh bedavar. If that's the case, then how were they able to create out of it? Bowing down to the Selem sounds horrible. Amrulam, he told him, Heim lo yasu alufnim. Even though they bowed down to the Selem, but they never really meant it. So too, HaKadosh Baruch Hu scared the Yidden, but never really meant it. That was the Mida Kineged Mida. And the point is that being that deep down, it wasn't something that they had properly, it wasn't something they really wanted to do, therefore it wasn't a problem. I don't understand. We're dealing with Avodah Zarah over here. If we're dealing with Avodah Zarah, you're dealing with the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar. Who cares if they meant it or if they didn't mean it? The bottom line is you're not allowed to be Oved Avodah Zarah. It's Yehareg Uval Yavar. So why is that an excuse? Heim lo yasu elo lefnim, and that's why they're speared. So three kashas. Number one, Rav says in Ksubis, Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, Umoli nogdua lechananyi mishol v'azariah havi polchu l'tzalma. How could they have bowed down to the Tzelem? How could you say that Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, three great tzaddikim, would not have been willing to endure the torture and instead do a Pashat Yidden who were Moisa Nefesh over the millennia, not to be Oved Avodah Zarah, not to convert, etc.? How could you be Choshed Hanani, Mishael, Azariah of not being able to do that? Kasha number two, Psochem Nun Beis, Amin Beis. Hanani, Mishael, Azariah, their inspiration to be Moisa Nefesh was the Tzvardeya. Without the Tzvardeya, they would have bowed down to the Tzelem. It's Avodah Zarah. And kasha number three, if the reason for the Gzeirah that nothing happened Purim time was because the Jews, they bowed down to Avodah Zarah, but they didn't really mean it. What kind of excuse is that? What do you mean they didn't mean it? Bottom line is, you did it. So, you know who asks all three of these kashas? Tosfos asks all three of these kashas. Tosfos asks in a bunch of places in Shas, and one of them is in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph, and I just want to read to you the Gemara, and then we'll say Tosfos Teretz. The context over there is La'asad Lavay, the theme at the beginning of Perek Chelik. So the Gemara is discussing La'asad Lavay, and it says La'asad Lavay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to judge the world, and the Jews are going to be there, and all the nations of the world are going to be there. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu at some point is going to turn to the Ummah Yisraelim, and he's going to say, I want the Gentiles to step forward now to the stand, and I want them to give testimony. I want them to testify about the Mesiris Nefesh that the Yidden had to Torah Mitzvahs throughout the millennia. Beautiful Gemara. I want you to come and be made. Let Nimrod come to the stand. And let he himself testify that he wasn't Oved Avodah Zarah. Let Lavan come to the stand. Let him say Eidos that Yaakov Avinu never stole from him. We now like to call the wife of Potiphar to the stand. Vitad, let she herself testify. Be Yosef Shalay Nechshad al Avera. Yovei Nevuchanetzar. Let Nevuchanetzar come. Vyod Bechanani Mishal Vazaria Shalay Hishtachavu Litzela. Yovei Dar Yovesh Vyod Bedaniel Shalay Bitala Satfila. Yovei Bildad Hashoichi Vetzofer Namasavili Vesatim Money. Velio Ben Brachel Habuzi. Vyoidu Ben Bi Yisrael. Probably mentioned somewhere later in Perek Chelik. Shekaim Waskola Torah kula. Either way, shenemar yitnu a day and yitztaku. Hashem wants the Umay Yisrael to come to the stand and let them be made. Zok Toisves. Let's be medayik l'shoyne yazov shal Ravina and Ravashi l'shoyne yazov shal Gemara. When the Gemara says, "Let Nimrod come and say edos," what's the lashon of Gemara? Yovei Nimrod v'yod ba'Avraham. And then when it says, "Let Nebuchadnezzar come and say Eidus about Hanani Mishal Vazario," Yovei Nebuchadnezzar v'yod b'Hanani Mishal Vazario shaloi hishtachavu letzelim. It doesn't say Avodas Keichavim. It says Avodas Keichavim by Nimrod. It doesn't say Avodas Keichavim by Nebuchadnezzar. You know why? Says Tosfos, "Omer Rabbeinu Tam the tzelim the Nebuchadnezzar lava Avodas Keichavim. It really wasn't Avodas Zara. Ella andarti asu the covenant." It was just some statue that people were bowing down to, not worshiping, not attributing any powers to, but simply as a way of showing covet to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is the king. You have to be mechabedim, so you stand erect. You bow down to the tzelem. That was the way Nebuchadnezzar was given covet. But there was no element of Avodah Zarah over here. Not only wasn't an Avodah Zarah, it wasn't even an Avera. It doesn't say anyone in the Torah, you're not allowed to do that. It doesn't say you can't bow down to a statue as a way of giving covet to some secular king. It's not something that's mefurish anywhere. But the bottom line is, it wasn't Avodah Zarah. If it wasn't Avodah Zarah, says Tosfos, miyash of all the kashas. If it would have been Avodah Zarah, then Hanani, Mishael v'Azariah would have endured torture. Had it been Avodah Zarah, then Hanani Mishael v'Azariah would not have had to make a Kavu Chomer from the Tzvardeya. Had it been Avodah Zarah, then Klal Yisrael probably would not have been saved from the Gzeirah of Purim. But the Teretz says it wasn't Avodah Zarah. It was something that was done for covet for Nebuchadnezzar. The Yidden felt, let's bow down. Nebuchadnezzar felt that it was the wrong thing to do. They were saved, and that's the rest of the story with Hanani, Mishael v'Azariah. But I'm telling you, it was a Tosfos of Avodah Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. Tosfos says it also in Ksubas Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. Tosfos says it also in Psachim Nun Gimel. All these places, all these Gemaras that we mentioned, Tosfos speaks out. But the bottom line is that's Tosfos Chiddush. The question then begs itself just the opposite. If it wasn't Avodah Zarah, then what's the big deal? And why would the Yidden v'lanu b'ishus upon him? Why did such bad things happen to the Yidden because of the fact that they did bow down to him? So that's something already that in Kama Kaimi Laharach. But either way, Zok de Gemara Vaiter. Koyamar Hashem Tzvokos, Elike Yisrael, El Achav Ben Koyloya, Vel Tzidkiyo Ben Maseya, Hanibim Lochem Bishmi Shaker. So the Pasuk is describing Nevi'e Sheker, Achav Ben Koyloya, and Tzidkiyo Ben Maseya. Now the context over here is Yirmiyo Perichavtes. These were Nevi'e Sheker that were burnt to death. They were punished. So much so, Uksiv, the Pasuk says, V'lukach mehem kolo, l'chol golas Yudah Hashem b'bavel. That they would now become the symbol of what happens when a person does certain averis. Lemar, to say, Yisimcha Hashem, like we say, Yisimcha likim kefraim kim anasha, Yisimcha Hashem ki tzidkiyo ukeechav asha kolam melech bavel behesh. They were punished by Hashem through the shliach was Nebuchadnezzar, melech bavel, who burnt them. The Gemara is about to say that this story, Yirmiyo Perichavtes, is really connected to Daniel Perigimel, and it's really the postscript to the story of Hanani Mishael v'Azariah. The Gemara is going to tell us now in great detail. They were burnt by Nebuchadnezzar, but the Torah uses a different lashon, not Asher Sarfim, Asher Kolom. What does that mean? That they were toasted like grain. Well done. What did they do wrong? What they did wrong was something arayis. So the Gemara tells the story. So these two they were Nevi'e Sheker. They go to Nebuchadnezzar's daughter. Achav Amalah, first Achav went to her and said, Koyamar Hashem, Hashmi El Tzidkiyo. Kadosh Baruch Hu came to me in Nevuah and said that he wants you to do an Avera, not with me, but with Tzidkiyo, with my compadre, the other Nevi'e Sheker. V'Tzidkiyo, Amar Tzidkiyo went and said, Koyamar Hashem, Hashmi El Achav. Hashem came to me and told me in Nevuah that he wants you to do an Avera, not with me, with my compadre, with Achav. Meaning, they understood that if the Navi would come and tell her, Hashem wants you to do the Avera, she'd never listen. But they thought this way, maybe it would sound true. Each one pointed to the other person. Now, she was the king's daughter, so it wasn't such a good idea. So she goes home, she tells her father about what happened. So Nebuchadnezzar thought about it for a moment, and he said, it's Nevi'e Sheker. How do I know that? Because if you know anything about the God of the Jews, he hates Arayas. So Gabach, when they come to you again, the follow-up, Shadrinu Legaboy, I want you to send them to me. So they went to her again, and this time she listened to her father's instruction. She sent it to her father. Amaluhu, man amalucha. Really, you're telling me, who told this to you? Amra Kadosh Baruch. What do you mean? God. Hashem came to us, and this is what he told us. So he said, V'chanani mishol v'azar yashaltinu. You know, I have a good relationship with three well-known Jewish prophets. Chanani, Mishael, Azariah. I consulted with them. Va'amruli Aser. They told me there's no way in the world Hashem would have ever told you such a nevuah. It's Aser. Hashem doesn't allow things like this. Amrulei. So they told him, Anan nami neviyah kavasaychel. Listen, I understand Chanani, Mishael, Azariah, neviyah, but we're also neviyah. So Hashem didn't tell it to them, but I'm telling you, Hashem told it to us. L'didulay amaluhu l'didan amar. He did to amaluhu. Anobi ina d'iftekinim. Says, you know what? I hear. Really, you think you're prophets on the same level of Hanani, Mishael, Azariah? There's an easy way to find that. Hanani, Mishael, Azariah were thrown into the Kibshan HaEsh, and they came out alive. Let's see if it happens to you. No, let's do it. Simple test. Kihechi, the Batkinu, the Hanani, Mishael, Amulei. They said, whoa, one second, let's take this a little easy. Inu Tlosa, they were three. Banan Shrein, we're only two. Maybe for three Nevi'im, Hashem would perform a miracle. But for two Nevi'im, who says Hashem's going to perform a miracle? Some of the Bukhat says, not a problem, no worries. Bachru l'chein manda bo'isu ba'daichu. No, fine, I'm sure you have another Chavrusa. Right, why don't you find somebody else? Bring him in, and it'll be three. Let's see if the miracle's going to happen. Amru, they said, fine. And they didn't have a choice. Yeshua Kohen Gadol. I want Yeshua the Kohen Gadol. I want him to come with us. Yeshua Kohen Gadol was in Eretz Yisrael at the time. So the Gemara says that in their mind, the reason they wanted him, Savru Lesi Yeshua, let Yeshua come. The Nafish Schusei Magnus. They knew he really is a tzaddik. So they thought in the Schus of Yeshua and Kohen Gadol, don't make it out of line. Ask you, they brought him down. Brought him from Yerushalayim. Shadinu, and all three of them, Yeshua Kohen Gadol, and Achav et Sidkiyo, they were all thrown into this fire. So the Gemara says, Inu Iklu, they were killed. They were like the toasted grain, as mentioned earlier in the Pasuk in Yirmiyo. But Yeshua Kohen Gadol, Ichrichu Mani, his clothes got a little dirty, he had to dust himself off. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Vayareini es Yeshua HaKohen Gadol, Oymu Lefnei Malach Hashem. Famous Nevuah, where Yecheskel sees Yeshua Kohen Gadol, he's standing in front of the Malach Hashem. Uksiv Ayem Hashem Alasat Yigar Hashem Becha. Haloi Zeh Ud Mutzomesh. He describes Yeshua and Kohen Gadol as an Ud that was saved from fire. It's this story. Amalei Yodana De Tzadikayat Elamai Taimo Ahanya Bachpur. This in Vuchanetzer, after he sees that Yeshua Kohen Gadol was saved, just like Hanani Mishael Azariah, he says that obviously you're a tzaddik. I get that. That's pretty obvious right now. But how come you're clothing got burnt. So, nothing happened to them. He told him, they were three. I was only one. Avram Avinu was only one person. So he said, I hear, but Avram Avinu, when he was thrown into the Kibshan Eish, he wasn't thrown in with any Rishayim. And as a result, fire wasn't consuming anybody. It was only Avram. Avram was going to be saved from the Kivshan Eish, so the fire never got going. Memeil, everybody, but Hoch Havi Rishon Ba'adeh. But over here, there are Rishoyim. The Isyev Rishuso Lenura, and now the fire has Rishus to consume the Rishon. Once the fire has Rishus to consume the Rishon, it can consume me as well. I know that which is what people mean when they say, Trei Udi Yeveshi V'chad Retiva. If you have two Udim that are dry and one that's wet, Uikton Yeveshi L'Retiva. That sometimes the fire that ignites the dry branches will cause the wet one to. So if all you have is wet, it can't be consumed by fire. But if you have dry and wet, the fire goes from the dry onto the wet. That's why Yeshua Kohen Gadol merited the miracle, but not on the same level as Hanani Mishael Azariah. Why not? Because once the fire was given Rishus, once the Sara Mashchis was allowed to be present, so on some level, in a mafchin, he was at the very least able to touch the clothing of Yeshua Kohen. But the Gemara says that were it not for the fact that Yeshua Kohen Gadol deserved to be punished, again, very subtle, his clothing burnt, but were it not for the fact that he deserved to be punished, it couldn't have happened. My time may anish. Because Yeshua Kohen Gadol did have one aveira that made him somewhat imperfect, that didn't allow him to get the perfect miracle because his children, who were Kehanim like him, married women that a Kohen is not allowed to marry. He wasn't Meichel, and that's why he was punished. Yeshua Hayolavish Begadim Tzayin. What does it mean? He was wearing Begadim Tzayin. Yeshua was the Kohen Gadol. Kohen Gadol was regal. He was royal. There's no way he wore dirty clothing. Elam Yishayu Bonav Noisim Nashim She'enon Hagunois L'Kohun Avlo Michan. The begadim tsoy and his clothing are referring to his children. They were dirty in the sense that they married women they weren't supposed to marry. It's attributed to Yeshua Kohen Gadol because he didn't stop them. He didn't protest. Mida keneged mida. His clothing gets singed. His clothing gets burnt when he's thrown into the fire. Zok the Gemara. More on the note of Hanani Mishal Vazari, which by the way is going to take us into tomorrow's daf. Rab Tanchum said, "Darish Baka Bar Betzipoy." My dear, what's behind the pasuk that says Sheisha Soirim Ha'Ela Nasamli? So Nami Rus Boyas. Rus converts. She becomes from Rus Amayavia to the matriarch of Malchus Beis David. She's very poor. Nami tells Rus that, you know, you have a cousin who is really supposed to marry you technically based on the laws of Geula and of Yibum. His name is Boaz. He's the god of Adar. He's also very wealthy. Why don't you go to him? He's going to take good care of you. So the pasuk says that Rus goes to Boaz, and Boaz gives her 6 barleys. Sheishas, and she brings it home, and she shows her shviger, look at what Boaz gave me. 6 barleys. Sok to Gemara. My sheish ha-soir. Ilei mesh sheish soir mamish. Doesn't mean literally 6 barleys. V'chidar. That's not even a spoonful of chalk. V'chidar kesho boyas litnei matona sheish soir. Doesn't sound like an appropriate gift for someone of the nature of boyas. Ela sheish soir. What it means is 6 so of barley. That's too much. V'chidar kesho isha litol sheish soir. How was she supposed to carry it? Ela remez. Ramaz lo. This is all a remez. Shasidim shisha bottom lotzis bimena. That Rus would have 6 children, shemizbarchim b'sheish brachas, and each one of her 6 children or descendants would have 6 brachas: Elohein, David, Umashiach, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So David comes from Rus. Mashiach, of course, comes from Malchus Beis David. Daniel apparently came from Rus as well, and so did Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. So these were 6 very important figures in Jewish history, all of whom were gebenched with 6 brachos, and that's the remez of the sheish soim. So we're mentioning it because 3 of the 6 are Hananya, Mishael, Azariah. But either way, the Gemara is going to go through this whole brice. David, how do you know David had 6 brachos? Because the pasuk says, "Vayan echad me'ana orim vayoymer hinei ro'isi ben liyishai beis halach." So the context over here is that Shaul HaMelech was feeling depressed. He was very down, and he needed somebody to come play the harp for him and make him feel good. So one of Shaul HaMelech's right-hand men, Doyeg HaDoimi, who we're going to learn a lot about in Perek Chelek. So Doyeg HaDoimi comes and he says, "I scouted the land and I found the person." And he describes David HaMelech. And he says, "Yoideya Nagi, Yishai has a son who knows how to play the harp. The Gibar Chayil, the Ish Milchama, Unavoyin Dovar, the Ish Toyar, Vashem Imoy." If you count the accolades that Doyeg HaDoimi gives David HaMelech, it's 6. He's Yodea Nagin, he knows how to play the harp. He's a Giber Chayil, Ish Milchama, he's a Nevoin Dovar, he's a Ish Toyar, and 6 for Hashem Imoy. So, the Gemara Vamri Yudam, Rav Kala Pasuk, Gazelo, Yamar Doyeg, Elab Lashon Hara, that even though Doyeg at first glance just seems to be doing his job, but the Gemara says he had a hidden agenda. His agenda was he wanted Shaul to meet David, he wanted David to enter the royal palace of Shaul, because he knew that Shaul would become jealous of David HaMelech, because these 6 milas that he had were milas that Shaul took very seriously, as the Gemara is about to describe, and there was some evil agenda that Doyeg has. Either way, what are these 6 milas? Yodea Nagin, he knows how to play the harp, that's the literal meaning, but also Sheyodea Lishol, he knows how to ask good kashas. Gibar, Sheyodea Lahashim, he knows how to answer good kashas. Ish Milchama, Sheyodea Lisav Litim Milcham Toshotayr, he knows how to handle the sugya. Ish Toya, Shemar Panam Aloch, he also knows how to come out Aloch Elamaisa. He's every London wrapped in one. That's who David HaMelech is. The Gemara says, as Doyeg is describing David HaMelech to Shaul, so Shaul kept on saying, "Bekulu amalhu Yoinus somebody come out." I hear, yeah, he knows how to ask a good kasha. No, my son Yoinus is also mechaber to Reb Kivayegis kashas. He knows how to say a good teretz. Yeah, my son Yoinus could also say good chaburas. Bakiv on the amalei when he told him Vashem imoy milsa debidei namelo havebe. That was something that even he himself, let alone his son Shaul HaMelech, also didn't have, because Shaul HaMelech very often couldn't come up with the halacha chalish daite. He had chalish sadas v'ikanyebe. He became jealous. And by the way, says the Gemara, that was Doyeg's agenda. What's it referring to? It's not referring to mundane things. I mean, that's the Pashup Shah. But additionally, there's a remez here to Torah that David HaMelech was always mechaven to the halacha. He was Beis Hillel, where Shaul was a big lamdan, but as it related to halacha, he was more like Beis Shammai, and he was jealous of the fact that halacha k'moisoi shel Hillel. But bottom line is, these are the six brachos of Dovin HaMelech. We know the Doyek HaVadimor says, by the way, we're saying that it was Doyek, and he had a whole agenda, he wanted to try to get Shaul to be jealous. How do you know to attribute this to Doyek? Because it says, Vayan Echod Mehana'orim. And Echod sometimes means Miyuchet Shebena'orim, the most chashiv, the most outstanding of the Na'arim of Shaul, Ksiv Hasam. And when the Pasuk describes Doyeg, it says, V'sham ish me'avdei Shaul b'yema hu netzor lefnei Hashem, v'shmoi Doyeg o'adaymi, abir haroyim ashal l'shaul. So the Pasuk describes Doyeg as being netzor lefnei Hashem. It's an unbelievable toyar. He's netzor. He's shifty b'veis Hashem, but it's even more netzor. He's stuck. He can't go anywhere. He's netzor lefnei Hashem. So you see how chashuv Doyeg was. So he must be the vayan echad mehanar. Mashiach, how do you know Mashiach has six brachas? Chesiv enocha olav ruach Hashem. Ruach chachma is one. Uvina is two. Ruach etz is three. Ugvura is four. Ruach das is five. V'yiras Hashem is six. So that's a pasuk that describes Mashiach. Mashiach comes from Dovid HaMelech, who comes from Rus, so he's the second person who was gebenched with these six milas, and that's why Boaz gives Rus six sa'irim. So we mentioned the pasuk that describes Mashiach. The very next pasuk says, "V'harichoy beyiras Hashem, v'loy lemare einov yishpoit v'loy lemishma osam v'yechiach." A well-known pasuk. The pasuk says, "V'harichoy beyiras Hashem." So we'll see what that means in a minute. And then Mashiach, when he's going to judge, he's not going to judge based on what he sees. And he's not going to judge based on what he hears. He's going to have some instinct that he's going to be able to use to judge. Says the Gemara, it's like a windmill. A windmill is able to mill a lot of flour. Mashiach's going to have a lot of mitzvahs. But also, it's painful to use the windmill. And Mashiach is going to suffer a lot of pain. And it's the suffering of Mashiach and the mitzvahs of Mashiach that's going to be the schus for the Yidden to have the ultimate redemption. Rava Amar, Rava says, V'aricha means something else. Because the Pasuk says that Mashiach is not going to judge based on what he sees and what he hears. He's going to use, what are those instincts? That's the word V'harichai. Rava Amar, the Moirich V'doim. He's going to smell, and using his koyach of smelling, he's going to be able to judge. See, he's going to use the smell test when it comes to being able to determine if somebody is guilty or if someone is innocent. Like the pasuk continues, the ksiv leilam ari'in of yishpoit, the shofa petzedek dalin, v'yichiach b'mishar le'an ve'yor. It says the Gemara, on that note, Mashiach, one of the qualities that he's going to have is going that he's going to be able to sniff out a situation. So b'derech agav, when we're talking about Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar, Yecheskel, that's so much Yevashis, Doyeg Adoyim, Mishael, David, you have so much agadah. So b'derech agav, two lines in Gemara, the Gemara throws in, bar koichva, bar koiziva, malach tartinch, case Chesky didn't have enough hashtags, bar koiziva, malach tartinch, nenu palga. Bar koichva was king for 2.5 years. Amalu the Rabbanu, and I'm Mashiach. At the end of the 2.5 years, Bar Koichva said, "I'm Mashiach." Amrulei, they told him, "Be Mashiach, siv the moruch v'dot." Really, you're Mashiach? Let's see if you pass the test. So we know one of the qualities Mashiach is going to have is that he's going to be able to judge people by smelling. Nechsi anan im moruch v'dot. Let's see if you're able to do it. Kivin the chazu adolei moruch v'dot. When they saw that he wasn't able to do it, katlu, they killed him. So we don't have time to go into the whole story of Bar Koichva, but the short bio of Bar Koichva is that he lived approximately 50 years after Churban Bayis Sheni, in the times of Rabbi Akiva. Bar Koichva was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was also a very mighty warrior. The Jews at the time were suffering from the Romans. Hadrian, who in the Roman world is known as Hadrian the Great, by us, of course, he's Adarianus, was the emperor of Rome at the time, and he was giving the Yidden a lot of tzaras. Bar Koichva said, "I'm Mashiach, let's rebel against Hadrian." And that's going to usher in the ultimate redemption. Some say that Bar Koichva even built the Beis HaMikdash, a third Beis HaMikdash. Sounds a little controversial, right? The Rashash in Masechtas Pesachim, if you want to look it up, it's in Pesachim Daf Ayin Dalet Amud Aleph, right in the beginning of Perakeitz Atzilim, mentions the rumor that Bar Koichva may have built the third Beis HaMikdash. Either way, they go, they fight against the Romans. The Romans kill Bar Koichva, they quash the rebellion. They're very disappointed about what the Jews did. And the way they take revenge from the Jews is by destroying Beitar, That's Churban Beitar. That's one of the five things that happened on Tisha B'Av. And the Rambam talks about Churban Beitar. He says it was as terrible as Churban Beis HaMikdash itself. So that's the short bio of Bar Kochba. Bar Kochba thought he was Mashiach. By the way, not only did Bar Kochba think he was Mashiach, but the Gemara says that all the Chachamim uberoisham Rabbi Akiva. The Rambam's Lashon very famously is that Rabbi Akiva was Noisei Kelov Shol Bar Kochba. He carried the Kalim of Bar Kochba. He was Meshamashim. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bar Kochba was Mashiach. Svunim HaKadoshim say Bar Kochba could have been Mashiach. But the bottom line is, that's the story of Bar Kochba. But here we have a very abridged version of Bar Kochba. He's king for 2.5 years. I'm Mashiach. They said, really, if you're Mashiach, do you pass the Mashiach test? Are you able to be Mariach the Doin? He wasn't able to. Katlinu, it sounds like the Yidden killed him. What's even more puzzling is, if you take a look at Rashi, Bar Koziva, three words, Mimalchei Hurdis Haya. He was one of the kings of Hurdis. Now, Hurdis' family ruled over Klal Yisrael for the last 103 years of Bayesheni. Right, Hurdis, also known as Herod the Great, but the point is, he ruled for 103 years. That's not Bar Kochba. Bar Kochba wasn't from Malchus Hurdis. Hurdis wasn't even a Yid. He was a very questionable Jew. There was a very controversial conversion that made Hurdis into a Yid. But the bottom line is, Ayin B'Maratzchias, he asks the Kasha, it's a little unclear what's going on over here. So, the Gemara, Daniel, Chanani, Mishol, V'Azaryo, Dechsibu, where do you know that they had these six, that they were blessed with six brachas? Because the pasuk says, Asha'im behem kol mum, referring to all six of them. They had, all four of them. They had no mum, v'tovi mara, they were handsome, u'maskilim b'chol chachma, they were very wise, v'yoydei das, u'mevine mada, v'asher koyach behem lamed behichel amelch, lamed seif v'lushan kast. Says the Gemara, my Asha'im behem kol mum, what does it mean when we say that they had no mum? Amar abchama, b'rabchanin, afilu k'rivda d'chay sulta le'havabu. They were never even punctured by a blood letter. My v'asher koyach behem lamed behichel amelch, that they would force themselves to stand in front of the king. They wouldn't laugh, they wouldn't talk, they wouldn't sleep. Even sometimes they had to go to the bathroom. They would control themselves from that. Right, the pasuk sounds like Hanani, Mishael, v'Azaria are all from the Bnei Yehuda, which was, by the way, the Gemara that we just spoke out. What's the Gemara? Rus is going to have six descendants that are going to have six brachas. Daniel, Hanani, Mishael, v'Azaria. Stating that, it's a machloikus on the Gemara. Amar, Rabbi Lazar, Kula, b'Bnei Yehuda. They were really all from Yehuda. Rashmur, b'Nachmeni, Amar, Daniel, b'Bnei Yehuda. Only Daniel was from Yehuda. But Hanani, Mishael, v'Azaria, Mishar, Shvatim, Hanani, Mishael, v'Azaria really came from the other Shvatim. Just one more ha'ara. One more ha'ara. That is, so we mentioned the Gemara Naman Aleph. We'll end with this. So the Gemara, now you know, we'll say this tomorrow.